We are talking on miracles, and sometimes a miracle to you may not be a miracle to other people. On the other hand, just because it's not a miracle to you does not diminish the fact that to somebody else it's an absolute supernatural occurring. I did not know one time, but there was a lady in a particular service we were hosting at a particular church. And her father was dying, and she wanted to be reassured of the eternal salvation of her dad. He was passing away. And she was sitting there, and I just came over to her, and I just said, "It's going to be all right." Now, everyone in the church thought, what was that about? To her, I mean, it's just like somebody turned a faucet off in her eyes. She just started to weep. Why? Because somehow that was the thing she was looking for. Now, it may be just a bunch of words to other people. I didn't understand myself. But to her, I said to her at the end, "What was that all about?" She said, "I've been asking God to reassure my heart about the salvation of my dad." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because I don't know. I know my dad goes to church, but I don't know if he had a relationship with God. And I just wanted God to say he's going to be all right." Well, that's miraculous. When somebody prays for cell phones are so common. Some of you have 3 or 4. But if you haven't got one and you can't afford one and you're asking God for one and somehow God supplies the thing to you, that's miraculous. A housewife looking for a pound of butter to bake a cake, she can't afford one. She prays for one. Somebody turns up at the door. To you, you've got 5 pounds of butter in your fridge. To her, she's got nothing. So when something like that happens, to her, it's miraculous. To you, you think, well, that's not a miracle. Well, it's not your miracle. Are you okay? Now, I was thinking the other day, I said to myself, I haven't even prayed about it. I said, man, it'd be really great to have a heater in my room. That's my office. A lady was shopping in Palmerston North. I hadn't prayed. I was just thinking about it. This office is cold. I need a heater. She turned up. She said, "I was doing some shopping in Palmerston North. God told me to buy you a heater." Now, don't tell me that was not a miracle to me. That was outstanding. That was miraculous. What? What else did God tell you to do? I mean, to you who's got a heater, that's not a problem. To me, I was looking for one. And then somebody turned up and said, "I've got a heater for you." My wife was going through a very, very hard time. We were both going through a hard time. And she had a very favorite song at that particular time. "I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice." That was her favorite song. And she was so down in the dumps. We were going together, but everybody was against our relationship. And people were saying things to her that were very, very unkind. Some of it was not even true. And she went home in the middle of the night. All were not true, that's true. Well, all the criticism, you know. And she went home that night, and it was in the middle of the night. All of a sudden, the radio turned itself on and sang that song. "I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice." Just her and the radio, and after the song, the radio turned off again. Now, don't tell me that's not supernatural. But it may not be supernatural to you, except that no one turns a radio on. The radio doesn't turn on by itself, especially when it comes from Radio Rhema And at that time, Radio Rhema closed at 8:30. Hello? See, what may not be a miracle to you is a miracle to somebody else because of their particular need. And sometimes our eyes need to be open to see the miraculous, otherwise it passes us by. When Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus and said, open the eyes of their understanding that they might see the enormity of the inheritance that they have. And sometimes you may have a great inheritance, but if you did not know it, I had an envelope one time, had $500 in it. It was in the car. I forgot it was in the car. So I've been driving around. I needed some money. And my wife got in and said, what is this? I said, let's have a look. It was there. I said, that's mine. Now, you may have something like that, but if you are ignorant that it's not there, and the church in Ephesus was blessed beyond compare, yet they did not know. So Paul had to write to them and say, hey, God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. You are redeemed, you are purchased, everything has been provided for you, but you need to know it. And God needs to open the eyes of your understanding. You see, it's not just these eyes that you walk by. If these are the only eyes you have, you're stupid. There are eyes of your heart. There are eyes of your understanding. Helen Keller said, the trouble with people with sight is that they've got no vision. You may have eyesight, but no vision, no purpose. Just floundering around, wasting time and wasting space. Are you okay? Now you talk to somebody who does not know the Lord, he thinks you're nuts. Why? Because he can't see. He thinks that life is just here. You live, you die, you go to Alamoho, the worms will eat you and that's it. Why then do you live for tomorrow if that is all life is? People say, well, when you die like a dog. Well, live like one then. Why do you live like a human being when you're going to die like a dog? If you're going to die like a dog, live like a dog. Why? Because you have, there's a different dimension of you that is not physical. There is something about you that you are created in the image of God, and God is a spirit. When you die, you don't die. In fact, the very thing that restricts you right now is your body. Your body is a prison, bars of bones that hold your soul. But when your body dies, you don't die. You're just separated from your body. Hallelujah. But you don't die. Read the Bible. Or talk to somebody that has died. Well, I don't know anybody. Jesus has and rose again. Talk to him. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Say amen. And sometimes the miraculous for us is just doing something totally different. Did you know prophecy? One of the meanings of prophecy is you say something another way. You say something another way. You look at a bottle or glass. Preacher special. Half empty. Half full. It depends. You see, you're both correct. It's half empty. But it's also correct. It's half full. Now, which are you? Half empty. Because if it's half empty, that means it's going down and nothing will be left. If it's half full, it's going down. up. It depends on how you see. I picked up a student one time from Massey University, and he hopped in the car, in one of those long seats, not the bucket seats, you know, I had an old Falcon. And he hopped in and said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm going to Taihape." He said, "What for?" "Nosy fella." I said, "I'm going to do a Bible study." He said, "I don't believe in God." I said, "You're an idiot." I said, "You're breathing his air, you're living his life, and you don't believe in him. How stupid are you and still breathe?" I think he was glad to get out of the car. God has put eternity in a man's heart. You can't stop that. It's already in there. Whether you know God, believe in God or not, it's still in there. God has put eternity in your heart, and you know that when this life is finished, it's not finished. They may teach you to think otherwise, but you know that 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 you know it's not going to be finished when you're dead. And some miracles are never understood and never appreciated until you add eternity to it. When people die, they get their heads beheaded, or they live in abstract poverty for most of their days. You believe in a God like that? Guess what? They have more peace than you, and you've got more money than them. And they love it. They love life, even though they live in abstract poverty. You worry about your money. Now, who's peaceful? Him. Why? You can gain the whole world and lose your soul. Most valuable commodity you've got is your soul. When your life is finished, the moon and the stars will grow cold. Your soul will live on and on and on. This planet will disappear. Your soul will live on. And sometimes you will never understand the miraculous and how a person can get beheaded and still sing, or get live in abstract poverty and still are at peace, unless you add eternity to what you've got. And God has put eternity in your heart. Whether you're educated or not, God has put eternity in the heart of every human being. Hallelujah. And you know that you know that you know that you know that life 70 years plus is not what life is all about. There is more than that. Are you okay? Hallelujah. What are you going to have for lunch? And sometimes the miraculous don't occur because we are constantly doing things over and over and over again in the way that we like them to be done. Sometimes you have to change what you do. And like we shared last week, you have to break some roofs to get close to God. The four men that brought their friend Jesus had to break a roof to lower their friend to be close to the Lord. He got healed. Are you okay? And sometimes you have to change, break some stuff. There are some routines that need to be broken. There are some traditions that need to be challenged. Hallelujah. Did you know if you go to the gym and you do the same routine day in, day out, day in, day out, your muscles will actually get used to that routine And in the end, your muscles won't develop. In fact, your muscles will actually deteriorate, even though you're doing the routine. Why? Because you're doing the same thing over and over. You need to break the routine and do another thing for the muscle to develop. And sometimes in your life, you need to change and wreck the way you do some things. Break your roof. Get your head. Hello? I almost said break your head, but. Some roofs need to be broken for you to experience a miracle, because you're over and over and over and over. You're just doing the same thing day in, day out. I get bored with church. Well, sometimes you get bored. And then people say, I get bored with God. Have you ever been to the Grand Canyon? Have you ever beheld the beauty of that thing? Have you been to a hallelujah, Inangahua Junction? Have you been to the Pancake Rocks? Now, how come you're not bored of that, and you're bored of the one who made that? Look at the stars, and the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sound of heaven declares His wondrous name. You hear the thunder. I see the stars. I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe displays. Then sings my soul. You are in awe when your eyes are open and understand that there's nothing in creation, even though it's beautiful, there's nothing in creation as beautiful as the Creator. If you get to know Him and connect with Him and have a purpose for your life, because He loves you and gave His life for you. He created you in the first place, you good-looking thing. Hallelujah. Sometimes you almost have to punch somebody in the face to get them to get saved. You know, this is not a lie. This is just, but illustrate the point very well. These two guys, they went to a church in Napier. They were at a conference in Auckland. Now, you understand, when people get born again, you weren't created perfect, all right? You're still a creation in progress, okay? Now, they've just been to a Christian conference. And they were driving down around Ngatea way up. And they were going home. And this guy cut them off. Now, these boys were saved, but not very sanctified. So they said, we better catch up to that guy. So they drove past him. And then they dragged him to the side of the road so that he can't move his car. Got up, pulled him out, and beat the living daylight out of him. So they went to church on Sunday, and they said to themselves on the way, that was a terrible thing. We're supposed to be Christians. So they went to the pastor. The pastor's name was Jeff. I won't tell his last name, because otherwise you'll know. He said, sir, we got a confession to make. I said, what? We beat a guy on the way back from the conference. You went to a Christian conference and you beat a guy up. How do you expect him to get saved? And then they said, we saw him sitting at the back of the church. You know the funny thing is, they didn't even know he lived in the same city. This is way over in Ngatea way. And they were, but you know what they said? You know what you need? You need Jesus. And the guy came black and blue to the church. Now, I don't advocate that you beat somebody up. But sometimes it's almost like you need to whack somebody in the head to get them to see. Hello? You probably realize I'm not sanctified, eh? Not totally. We went to speak in Paparua prison. Now, prisoners, they are cocky, they are arrogant, and they try to out-macho one another. So here am I. We went down to the South Island to speak at Paparoa Prison in Christchurch. And they're all there. And, you know, they come. This is a service to them. It's an icebreaker. So they all come. They turn around from the front row and talk to the guys in the back row. They don't concentrate on anything. They roll their smokes and they smoke in the thing. And then I got up to go and preach. And this guy hit me in the ribcage. And I used to teach martial arts. I could have broken his neck. I said, "You're lucky my wife is here. I'll kill you." Then I went up and preached. But I remember the first time I spoke at that place. It was organized. This meeting was organized, and all these guys came. You know, they got rings and chains from here to the nose, and I had to give my testimony. And I said, "You bunch of ding dongs, you bunch of pussycats, you're trying to act tough." Now that's the kind of language they understand. I had a friend who went to this prison here and try and tell a joke. He said, "Nobody laugh." I said, "You don't tell them a joke. Nobody will laugh. It doesn't matter if it's funny, they won't laugh because they're trying to out-macho one another." And I said, "You bunch of pussy cats. You think you're tough." And I'm standing up here with a nice little bluish-gray suit with a tie. And these guys are looking at me and say, "Don't you look at me like that. I could rip your ears at the side of your face before you have time to blink. I'll kill you in 2 seconds." And everything was quiet. Because everybody thinks that Christians are a bunch of pussycats. They are not. It's called self-control. So I gave them my testimony and made an appeal, and a lot of them got up and got saved. Are you okay? And sometimes miracles don't happen until you do something, almost have to do something physical that's so outlandish, out of the norm. Hallelujah. It's the equivalent of breaking a roof to lower a patient down. Are you all right? Is this all right? Hallelujah. Have a look at John chapter 4. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees, I've got 9 minutes, so that's, you're going to have lunch shortly. Is that right? The Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples. He left Judea and departed again to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria. But he had to go through Samaria. And sometimes, why is that there? Because if you look at the geography of the place, you got Judea, and then you got Samaria, then you got Galilee. So if you're going from Judea to Galilee, it's natural to just go through Samaria. Are you okay? If you go to the stadium, you have to go through the roundabout. Why? Because the roundabout is before the stadium. Now, let's say the roundabout is Samaria and the stadium is Judea. Hello? So you have to. It's natural to go through there, but the Bible says he had to go through there. Well, he had to go through there, but it's natural to go through there. Except that the Jews never go through Samaria. They don't. They will turn this way walk across the Jordan River, then walk across here. When they get to Galilee, they will walk across to get to, and vice versa when they go home. They never go through Samaria. Never. But Jesus went through it, and when he went through it, he went through it in the middle of the afternoon, and he sat by a well, and a prostitute came. Well, the woman has five marriages now, just living with another man. She's had six men in her life, and coming in the middle of the afternoon, when the ladies come in the morning and in the evening, she come by herself. Why? Probably because of the lifestyle she's living in. But when she came, the Lord was sitting at the well, and she looked at him, recognizing his attire, that the guy was Jew. And then the guy asked her, which is so out of culture. Not only is he doing, he said, can you give me a drink? He said, what? You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. What are you doing in my turf? We don't have stuff together. Wrong woman. And Jesus said, if you only knew. Sometimes the miraculous happens when we go out of some of our traditions, some out of our cultural norm, to experience a miracle. Do something that is different. A prostitute came to the Pharisee's house. She had no right to be there. She was not invited. This is a man's only thing. And she came in and made a beeline for Jesus, broke her alabaster jar, and pour out the oil on his feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the man are looking, what is that? And Jesus said, everywhere this gospel goes, you will go. And sometimes we need to just do something that is not normal, not in our normal way of living. Hallelujah. So that we may experience the miraculous workings of God. I gave my life to the Lord when I went to eat. And it's funny, most of the time when God's talking to me is when I'm eating. That's why I eat quite a lot. I want to hear God. But I went to eat. I went to eat because it was a free meal. And every time there's a free meal, a Samoan will be there. And half the Maori population. So I went. The only reason I went was to eat the meal. It was a very funny meeting. It was out of the ordinary. It wasn't something I was used to, and yet I used to go to church when I was knee-high to a grasshopper, which was very, very small. I used to teach Sunday school. I'll get drunk on Saturday night and teach Sunday school on Sunday at our church in Christchurch. It's a Presbyterian church, the biggest Presbyterian church in Christchurch. I used to go to that church. And I used to be a Sunday school teacher and a youth leader. I was the head of the youth department and a Sunday school teacher. And I'll get drunk on Saturday night and still go to church. If I had died then, I'll hit hell and open it wide open. Hit hell on roller skates. Just because you go to church does not mean you're going to heaven. Church is not heaven. Don't be proud that you're going to church. You need to know the Lord. Are you okay? And I went to have a free feed, and it was a church service like nothing I've ever experienced. We had a meal. They sang a song. And a guy got up and talked. And as he talked, I thought, man, that is real. He talked about his life. He was a diver. He used to dive for kinners and whatever else. And then he experienced God. Somebody talked to him about God. And now I'm not listening to a preacher. I'm listening to a diver. And I gave my life to Jesus. something out of the ordinary in a church meeting, not listening to a preacher but a diver. And I gave my life to Jesus Christ. Now, when that guy prayed for me, I told you before, there was no way I was going to go up to get saved. Why? I'm too proud. I mean, I'm not going to get up there and stand in front of everybody. But there was somebody beside me. They probably came to eat the food as well. And they were crying. And I thought, if I take them up, I'll go up myself. So I took them up, disguised my going up. And the guy that, this diver that was talking, now you realize he hasn't got a degree in theology. He's never been to Bible college. He's just connected with Christ. And he came and prayed. And when he went past me, he just said, bless him. And he touched my forehead and I hit the floor. And I thought, the only person I hit the floor, I've either punched, thrown over, or kicked in the face. I thought, I've never seen people do that at the dojo. I mean, he just, and then I'm black belt. I'm supposed to be, boom! I said, this power is more real than the thing that I'm used to. And I gave my life to Jesus. And I never went back to teaching martial arts. Why? I found life. I found reality. I found somebody that was real, and I never looked back. And sometimes you need to get out of your normal routine. If somebody said to me, let's go to a service, I probably said, well, don't worry about it. I'll go to a service on Sunday. Thank you very much. But they said, let's go have a feed. Where? And hello. Went to eat and came out saved. And every time God talks to me, I'll be eating and He'll be talking to me. So I eat quite a lot so I can hear Him properly. My wife knows when God's talking to me, we'll be in a restaurant, doesn't matter whether it's Los Angeles or where, and I'll just begin to eat and then I'll cry and she'll know God's talking to me, so she stops until I finish crying. So I'll be crying with my mouth full of steak. Hallelujah. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord that He is my strength, my rock, my salvation. Amen. And sometimes in your own uniqueness of your relationship with God, you find your secret place where God can speak to you. Because you can go and eat steak until you're so big and you still don't hear God. Are you all right? Say amen. Amen. My time's up. Go home.